Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 226 of Her, the podcast where, well, you're going to hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, making time for her health. I know, always a challenge. We've got a terrific show coming up. And before we begin, just know that this episode is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And here's your first official reminder to click on to iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show, because we love to hear your feedback. Yep, you heard right. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
How about buying a book called Making the Switch? How to put yourself first in a world that tells you not to. Oh man, does that sound like a feminine kind of challenge? Well, we have the author Allison Brown with us. She's a 20-year award-winning fitness and nutrition expert and the co-owner of New You Personal Training Studio. And she's always had a passion to transform bodies from the inside out. And you know something? Face women's challenges like putting yourself, well, first. So Allison, welcome to the Her Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. Great to be here.
Why did you call it Making the Switch? What are you switching from and to? What's going on there?
So we are switching from the notion that a good mom and a good woman puts herself last. And we are making the switch to last to first. It's time for women in general to understand that in order to be our best us, we need to be first for a change.
Okay, now that sounds too easy, because guess what? Women are shrouded in guilt, right? So as soon as something comes up, you know, they just dump whatever self-care is going on at the moment in deference to someone else's need. Now, come on, this has been going on for years. How are we really going to make that mental shift to give ourselves as women permission to be able to do something like, I don't know, take care of yourself? I mean, the very thought of a woman, you know, going first, let's say, before her husband, before her partner, before her kids, before the guy next door, I don't know, before somebody, it is so almost mentally painful. All right, so walk us through how a woman makes that switch.
I will say from firsthand experience, it's totally foreign. So when you say mentally painful, I agree with that 100%. When I first did this, for me, I was sitting on my chair in my living room while my children were ready for breakfast, and they were very used to me jumping to their every whim. And I sat there with my cup of coffee, and I tried to relax amidst the chaos of three boys wanting breakfast and the dog wanting out and my husband racing off to work. And I thought, nope, I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to drink my coffee. And it felt foreign. It felt awkward. It felt uncomfortable. Women have a million things calling. For me, it was the laundry that day. The house was a mess. You know, everything calls our name. And I just felt like if I don't take this time for myself right now, I am not going to be good for anybody. So I have to do it. So at first, it was like a forced thing that I had to make myself do. But every day, just like putting in reps at the gym, every day we get better if we do it more and more. We get stronger at it, mentally stronger at it. And so that's all it took. It just put in that daily 5 minutes. I'm going first for 5 minutes today. And it not only trains myself.
Okay, so Well, I like that 5-minute issue. You know, a lot of women think it's got to be an hour and a half or something. No, we're not asking you to join a spa. What we're simply saying is literally, can you take 5 minutes? Can you just hide in a closet somewhere for 5 minutes and just have a moment for yourself? But here's another challenge, because I'm gonna layer these challenges on you. So what about the guilt trips other people, you know, put on you? It could be family, friends, you know, whomever, who will say, well, wait a minute, but you were always there for me. You know, you were all, you know what I mean? Like they get used to you doing one particular thing.
Totally.
And then you're not there. And it's like, whoa, what happened to you? You know, like something's wrong with you. And most importantly, there's a guilt trip. But I need you now. Blah, you know, that kind of thing. So, okay, walk us through that one.
Yeah, so there's a lot of shoulds, right? Like, you should be doing this, and you should be here for me, and you should be catering to my needs. And I think we should on ourselves too. I should be doing this. But I think that if we can just, like you said, breaking it down to 5 minutes, it doesn't have to be big to be good, right? We get that in our mind. It has to be big to be good, but it doesn't have to be. 5 minutes is where it starts. And the guilt is going to be there 100%. When I first left my home to go for a 20-minute run after I had my first child, I felt so guilty. Like, I'm leaving my son. This is horrendous. Why am I doing this? I'm a bad mom, right? We have all this self-talk. I'm a bad wife. I should be there with my son. But when I got back, I forced myself to go for that 20-minute run. When I got back, I had this aha moment. I'm so much happier right now. I'm excited to come and see my baby. I'm excited to be in the home with him and to get to the chores now that I've had that 20 minutes for myself. So if we can step out of that, comfort zone of catering to everyone else and set up some boundaries for ourselves, we will give ourselves permission to be first. I promise you will have so much more to give everyone else. And so then you will be able to be there for them, but in a bigger way.
All right, now I'm going to put on my physician and scientist hat. There's some really, really cool science behind this. I'm going to quote some science from Ohio State University's stress labs. Researchers there did a very interesting study once that I found to be exquisitely provocative and compelling. So this is the way it went. So there were two groups of people that they chose to study. Now, both groups were caregivers. They were caregiving, you know, someone or more than one person, whatever, on a fairly chronic basis. And so there it was, caregiving. Now, the difference between the two groups was that one group was doing the caregiving in an absolutely selfless way, meaning that they didn't do their self-care. They were just there, you know, like almost 24/7, just at your beck and call and all the rest of it. Okay. The other group was caregiving, but they also carved out time for, you know, getting away and taking care of yourself and back and forth. Now, what the researchers did was they actually looked at the white cells, which are immune system, part of our immune system challenge to bacteria, viruses, cancer, other things. And they looked at the hardiness of those blood cells when they were extracted from the study participants and challenged with everything from infection to cancer. Lo and behold, what they actually found was that those people who were doing their caregiving in a more balanced fashion had much healthier blood cells than those people who were doing it with no self-care. And sort of, you know, it's kind of one of those, I'm not surprised, wipe the shock off my face kind of a, you know, results. Mm-hmm. But that's a shout out to everyone that it's healthier. It's actually healthier to balance out any kind of caregiving in your life, whether it's that gorgeous son of yours, Allison, or whomever and however, with self-care. because then you can approach the challenge of all that caregiving in a much healthier way. Don't you agree?
Exactly. That's beautiful. I love that study. I say amen to that study. It's so true. It's so true.
I know. I love it.
And when we are down and out because we've drained ourselves and given and given and given, I like to just compare it to you're trying to pour from an empty cup and eventually you got nothing left, right? So it's got to be full to give. That's beautiful. I love it.
Yeah, it's just, it's one of those things, it's almost like that silly airline thing, you know, if you're traveling with a kid, you know, just put on your mask first, because you're kind of useless if you have no oxygen, and you're trying to help the guy next
exactly.
to you. So, you know, I mean, it's one of those, but you know, women just, I think it's also a generational thing. I mean, share some insights on that. I think that clearly the older generations of women were kind of many of whom, not all, but many of whom were taught old school, which is you always think about other people all the time and how dare you think about yourself kind of a situation. But the younger people, do you think there's like a generational thing going on?
I think maybe there is. Like when you say that, I recall my grandmother and she never took care of herself at all. She took care of everyone. She raised 12 kids. She was just constantly cooking and cleaning and caring for her family. And she never even complained. She never had a word to say, but she died too young. So I kind of look back at that study and I'm like, yeah, was she healthy? I don't think so. She didn't have what she needed for her. And so I think there's a really fine balance. I know for me, when I first became mom, I thought in my mind, like, I should be good at this and I need to set myself aside and I just need to get everyone else's needs met all the time. And that's what a good mom is. But lo and behold, I had my epic mommy meltdown, I call it, and crashed on my bathroom floor after three kids, realized, you know what? Maybe there's some balance here missing in my life where I need to cater to my needs too. So I think maybe generational. Absolutely. I think there's a lot of messaging to women that we need to be super mom and super woman and do everything and, you know, just cater to everything and hold all the balls up in the air. And, you know, if you don't have it all together if they come crashing down. But listen, it's okay to not have it all together. You're human. That's my message.
Well, the other thing, too, is what kind of a message are you giving your kids, right?
Exactly.
So the first message is that, you know, mothers are there just to basically drop everything, you know, at all times. But then, you know, not just even a mother, but it's also a parent per se.
Yes.
So when they become parents, what kind of a message is that? You know, it's like
exactly.
Now they're conflicted. It's like, how do you do this? And so if they see that, I personally feel that if they see that you're taking better care of yourself and that you keep showing up as someone who is healthy and energized and engaged and mindful because you take care of yourself, I think that that's a really rich message for caregivers everywhere. That, you know, this is possible, number one, that it's healthier, number two, and that the people you're caregiving are watching this very carefully, especially if they're kids or family members, they're learning. And I'm going to also tell you, I personally feel, let's see what you think, that people tend to respect people more if they stand up for themselves and they say, you know, that doesn't work for me. And what I would prefer instead is, you know, to take some time and take care of myself here. I just think that people who know how to carve out limits and boundaries and make that clear in a very, you know, gentle but firm way to other people just command more respect because they know what they need. What do you think?
I 100% agree. I think that it literally with my kids, I saw a switch for them when I started to carve that time out. It was like, okay, mommy's taking her time now. At first that was hard for them, but then they started to respect, okay, you know what, when mommy goes into her bedroom, she's having quiet time. were not to interrupt her. And they know it now. And they respect that time. And it's just a short time. It's all I need to just decompress. But they have much more appreciation for what time I do have to give. So I totally agree with that. That's so true. And that goes for friends, families, coworkers, like all these people that could easily take advantage of you or take you for granted, take your giving for granted, take your time. If you just set those boundaries up, it's just what you do have to give is so much more appreciated.
Well, I think your message also is helping women not go down the slippery slope of self-loathing. And I think that a lot of women think that because they, in their mind, since they thought the goal was to be supermom and they clearly cannot achieve that goal, then they feel defeated, helpless, hopeless. And then they kind of descend into kind of a dark place of, I can't seem to get anything right here, et cetera, et cetera. How do you make that switch, speaking of making the switch, from self-loathing to self-love?
I think this one's probably the hardest one, and it's a process for sure. I think that when I talk about the body. So we have a lot of beliefs about our body that started from a long time ago. And whatever messaging we received, I know for me, it was the messaging of, I was told that the bump on my nose was not beautiful, that my smile needed fixing, that I had big legs, that I was overweight. So all of this messaging from very early on as age 6 came to me, and I believed these things about myself. And I started that self-loathing process. I started that, self-deprecating, like, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not good enough, I am just not beautiful, because I believed these things. And so for me to make that switch to learning to love myself, it has been such a process. But what I do find is that if we can focus on what we're good at, not what we're not good at, what is beautiful about us, not what we don't have, you know, Every imperfection that makes us unique and special, if we can focus on the good, it will allow us to focus less on the bad. So focusing as a mom, as an entrepreneur, as a woman in anything, what are you good at? You have something special and unique to bring, and you need to focus on that. And that will help with switching that, you know, self-hatred off and turning on the self-love that we need more of in this world anyways, right?
Well, why is it so much easier for men than it is for women when it comes to this whole issue of just self-compassion, you know, kind of being a little easier on yourself? What's up with that?
That's a good question. When I first looked at my husband relaxing amidst the chaos of our home, it was a mess. I looked at him and I thought, at first I was angry. I'm like, what are you doing? You're not helping. But then I was like, what do you have that I don't have? How can you relax amidst this? How is this easier for you to not get stressed out about all these little things? How is it easier for you to not care so much what you look like versus what a female cares? And I don't know. I think that's a fascinating question. I don't know what the difference is. I think that we need to be a lot less hard on ourselves. I think women are so hard on themselves and they try to be perfect. And then when they don't miss or hit that mark, they're even harder on themselves. And it starts this cycle of like, you're just not good enough. You should be better. Instead of you're doing great with what you're doing. And instead of celebrating what you have to offer, instead of celebrating where you are now, right? We can improve every day, but we don't need to be perfect every day. We are human. We will make mistakes.
All right. Now you're a fitness professional, and yes. And here's the issue. Most women, especially if they're mothers and mothers that have just happened, right? New mothers, etc. But you know, so many women find it very difficult to maintain their best body when they're undergoing all of these challenges, the onslaught of the burdens that they take on in life, especially caregiving, et cetera. It just seems like it's all too much. How do you then make the switch of all too much to doable so that a woman can try to optimize whatever she can do under the circumstances. Give us some tips.
Sure. Yeah. So when I had my second child, he was a catnapper and he gave me 15 minutes. That was it. And my goal was to get my body back in shape because of what I do, right? I'm a fitness person. I want to be able to be strong and healthy. And so I had 15 minutes. So I did 15-minute workouts 4 days a week. Like I said, it doesn't have to be, big to be good. So 15 minutes of movement, we know this is so good for our mind. It's so good for your body. And it's about consistency. So you don't want to do this just for 6 weeks and expect to arrive, right? Because our body is never arrived. It's always changing. And we need to love it through that change. It's going to change after babies. It's going to change into menopause. It's going to change as we become seniors. So we need to love ourselves through that and focus on what can I do on a daily basis that isn't overwhelming, that's not too much, that's consistent, that's going to keep me healthy and strong. And so that's basically what I preach. It's about bite-sized pieces, not the whole thing.
Give us some examples. Give us some examples of how you do that.
Absolutely. So with regards to nutrition, I just say don't focus on what you can't have. Focus on increasing more of the good. So let's have more vegetables. Let's drink more water because as moms, a lot of times we're not focused on getting any of that in. It's just like the daily living is hard enough. So let's increase our veggies. Let's increase our water intake. Let's move more. So this is walking, getting out, going for a walk. This is, it doesn't have to be 20 minutes. It can be 10. This is, body weight exercises like squats and lunges and push-ups. If you don't have access to a gym, you have access to your body and you can use it to move. So I really like circuits and things like that, so that you can just keep going through 5 or 6 different exercises for as long as you got, right? And it doesn't have to be an hour. 20 minutes is amazing, and it will get those kind of results to keep your body healthy and in shape. And it's not going to be a perfect body because nobody has that, right? That's an unrealistic expectation. It's your body, and it's about getting your best body with what you can do in your day.
All right, if you have only 15 or 20 minutes, what kind of exercises would a woman do?
Great. I highly suggest squats and lunges, anything to get your heart rate up like burpees. Push-ups are fantastic. Dips, wall sits, anything core related. I really like planks. We really advocate planks. As long as you know you don't have a diastasis separation in the abdominal wall from having the babes, you're ready to do those kind of things. Sit-ups, bicycle crunches, back extensions, all the good body weight exercises, and just keep the heart rate up the whole time. You don't want to stop. You want to just, it's okay to go slow, but it's not okay to not go. So keep moving throughout as long as you possibly can. So we have a program called the Switch Project, and this is the kind of workouts that we give.
What is the role then for a woman who has had 15 to 20 minutes, maybe no more, of high intensity interval training?
We love it. Love it. Yes. So as hard as you can work for a short duration of time, and then you get a little bit of rest and then you go back in, we do all those kind of exercises. Starting out, it's like 20 seconds is a lot for people. So 20 seconds, work as hard as you can and then rest for 20 seconds and then work your way up to being able to do 30 seconds and 40 seconds and up to 60 seconds is fantastic. But making sure you get that rest so that you're ready to go back into that next work phase with lots of energy.
And the exercise scientist, I'm a fellow of the American College of Sports Medicine. One of the things we found in our studies is that if you really want to optimize your body composition, meaning minimizing body fat and maximizing your muscle mass, one of the best ways to do that is to integrate high intensity interval training sessions throughout the week, like several times a week at least, and then the rest of the time you could do more moderate workouts. But it's really important to shake things up. I think a lot of women sometimes have an antibody response or something, break out in hives when it comes to really like sweating it it and, you know, getting all, mm-hmm. you know, sweaty and drippy and nasty looking and all the rest of it, you're fine. It's a great feeling. It's cleansing. And, you know, that's not a nasty looking wet woman you see in the mirror. That's someone who's glowing. She's glowing yeah. with sweat and it's awesome. And don't be afraid of sweat. Embrace it, man. It's the best thing you can possibly do for yourself, to say the least. So that's a good thing as well. And really, one of the things that Allison, you know, is emphasizing here is that you need to be the one who gives yourself permission to do all of this. You have to do that. You have to yeah. be your own best advocate. Don't be waiting on someone knocking down the front door saying, hey, time to take care of yourself. I give you permission. It ain't happening. So if you don't do it for yourself, it's not going to happen. So you got to sit down and plot it out and plan it out and then really stick to your guns. You know, develop limits and boundaries around you, like little warp shields, a little Star Trek moment, little warp shields around you, so that when people try to infringe upon that, assuming it's not life-threatening or something, if someone says, oh my gosh, I think I'm going to divorce, you know, my husband, and I want to talk about it for at least 6 hours, you know, and you say, you know something? That's real special. Thanks for sharing. But right now I'm involved in something exceptionally important. I'll circle back with you. You see what I did was it was just a nice way of deflecting, but you're not dropping self-care when it's non-life-threatening, and you could definitely defer to a different time. And whoever can't handle that, well, you know, they got problems, because anyone who's reasonable would say, oh, okay, you know, more than happy, and thanks a lot. So you got to be able to, you know, protect yourself. I think women need more of that kind of a lecture to themselves than men do. I think men are just really more apt to protect themselves, don't you think?
Yes, definitely. And when they need rest, they take it. They take that downtime. They put their feet up and turn the TV on or whatever their rest is, right? But when we need rest, we're still going, right? We need to start listening to ourselves a little bit more and being more in tune with what do I actually need? And then that's right, making it non-negotiable. It's got to be non-negotiable that you exercise. We know it's good for your mind, it's good for your body, it's good for your overall health. And it's got to be non-negotiable that you give yourself permission to set those boundaries so that your energy is protected and that you can be the good friend that gives more once you've had that space for yourself. Non-negotiable, 100%. It's got to be you first and everything else after.
I absolutely love that word non-negotiable, because, you know, it's kind of like you've drawn the line in the sand. Okay, that's it. Yes. Done. All right. And there's no wiggle room. Women are always kind of wiggle rooming it. It's sort of like, well, okay, I'll just add one more thing onto my already exactly. overburdened schedule. You know, it's like, really, seriously, don't go there. Just like leave that
That's
one
right.
alone completely.
And I tell my mom, don't negotiate with a terrorist, because sometimes we're the terrorist where we're like, yeah, but I got to do this and I got to do that first. It's like, no, it is non-negotiable and you're not even negotiating with yourself about it. It's you
I know,
first.
I know. I love it. I love it. You first indeed. Well, everyone out there in the Herb podcast land, we've been talking to Allison Brown. Allison is the author of the wonderful book that gives you permission to do what? Well, the name of the book, Making the Switch, How to Put Yourself First in a World That Tells You Not To. Now, if you want to learn more about her wonderful work, please run on over to her website at theswitchfitness.com, theswitchfitness.com, or her Facebook, which is facebook.com/thefitswitch, and learn more about her wonderful, you know, her community that really supports the whole issue of, yeah, it's time for you, and it's healthier if you take care of yourself while you caregive. Allison, thanks so much for being on the Herb podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Pamela. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. And everyone out there, okay, now take a moment to hit iTunes and rate and review this show right now because I want to hear your feedback. And I'm giving you permission to take care of yourself. You heard me. I just said that. Who am I? Well, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Her Podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every single episode of the Her Podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today, and stay well.